Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three knots where we're able. We'll do routines, we're for the scenes, we're bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! Hee hee! King Chavez the Turbo! I rise from King Chavez the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch a catfish. fish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The table. All rise for the king to serve the table and the knights of the round table.
Hello, everybody. It's old King Shazizz the Terrible. While I'm waiting around for some of the knights to join me at the table, I guess I'll just ramble on for a minute. Anyway, daylight savings time, that just drives me insane. I don't know what's going on with that, whether I'm early or whether I'm late. It's hard to say. This entire world is just like so crazy, chaotic. I don't know what's what anymore. I just take every day one step at a time and try to figure it out as I go. That's the best you can do with a bad situation. A lot of amazing research going on in the alternative energy community, and a lot of other amazing things going on in the world, and some crazy things going on. So, you know, with that said, if you want to join in on the call me up there or jump over there to the Knights of the Round Table room and just call me up. So, you know, I've been trying to figure out a way that I could bring everybody together to try to do anything to make this world a better place. Anything whatsoever would be fine. add links to ShazizRadio.com in the super chat room over at ShazizRadio.com, which also has Awake Radio chat room all on the same page so that you can see both networks going at the same time. I'd like to get together with some of the other networks and see if we can't figure out a way to make a few more chat rooms to put up in here for all the other different networks. So then you'd have a connection with everybody. You know, we're all kind of like scattered around in our own little circles there. And, you know, it's kind of cool whenever you jump on the super chat room that, you know, you can see what's going on over there at Shazoo's Radio. And you can see what's going on over at Awake Radio. It's pretty neat little setup. And I'm sure that I could probably figure out some more room to throw up a couple more of those little Chatango websites if somebody wants to put theirs on there. We could squeeze that chat room in there as well. Maybe add a few more here and there. Or, you know, a couple multiple pages with links on there that will pop up all the different chat rooms so that you can jump around from chat room to chat room. You know, it might be that case that you like hanging out with the friends that you got over on your own side of the fence there, or whatever, so to speak. So you could just kind of jump around from one place to another and see who's where and what and all that and say hi and meet new friends or whatever. It's a pretty good deal, I think. Anyway, ideas is pretty much what it's all about anyway. I'm going to try to add another page over here at ShazizRadio.com. Something like an idea, almost said idea dump, you know, or because I just see so many wonderful ideas out there that people come across, and I don't really hear any more expansion on it, you know. Ideas are something that you can build on. You run with that idea and, you know, add your piece of the puzzle to it and make it better. You know, these are the advancements that we make. I'm 100% positive that we should be so much further advanced than what we are as a society. I know the technology's out there, and it just aggravates me to no extent that down here in this portion of the world, you know, they call us the middle class or the working poor or whatever, that we're still struggling to pay phone bills and light bills and bills of all sorts. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me that the people haven't gathered up together to actually start building things that we talk about or stuff like that. I would be interested in hearing from anyone who took any idea from any different alternative energy device or whatever and ran with it and did something with it. You know, I'm not looking to patent anything. If I got an idea, I'll give you the idea. If you can make $1 billion on it, then so be it. You know, I'm happy for you. You maybe be able to make the world a better place. It's hard telling. And so with that said, I just keep throwing ideas out there. Whatever comes across my mind, I'm going to draw a picture and put it on the Mad Science page or on the Knights of the Round Table page or whatever. I just put whatever comes to mind on a picture or a video, and I throw it out there and hope that people will see what I see and then take off running with it and do whatever, you know, they can to make this world a better place. The Knights of the Round Table, in my opinion, started off to be a wonderful thing, and I think it still is at some point. Probably need to hand the baton off to somebody else, some younger crew that can take it and run with it. We're at Knights 131 now, it looks like. I'm looking on the Knights of the Roundtable page. There's 130 on there. Actually, I still haven't got around to going back and getting all the old archives and trying to put those up. I think that I'll try to start working on that as soon as I can. We got all the way from Knights 58 all the way up to today's show, which will be Knights 131. And there's a lot of shows prior to all this that, you know, you can hear that would essentially give you an idea how it all started and how far we've come, and you know, the networks and stuff. You know, it's been a lot of wonderful nights, a lot of honorable nights on the Knights of the Round Table, a lot of wonderful people from all different countries. And actually, I've actually heard on a couple other networks of some other folks out there that started their own Knights of the Round Table, which is a good thing. You know, hey, copy is flattery. I didn't start the Knights of the Round Table. There's a Knights of the Round Table somewhere in the world, I'm sure, somewhere. I just had the idea that it would be a good place to build the platform, you know, that people could come together and share ideas in a respectful manner and work with one another across the international boundaries and make this world a better place, like I keep on saying. Anyway, I think we're going to have a Knights of the Round Table youth group there, as far as I've heard so far. I don't know if anybody's done the show yet, but that's going to be wonderful to have that coming around. And hopefully those will be the ones that take over the whole Knights of the Round Table and just keep it going on into the future, you know. An idea is only as good as how far you're willing to take it. And how far are we willing to take this idea of Awake Radio and No Borders and TCT and TNSR and 1800 Online and all the different Shaziz Radio Network and so on and so forth? How far are we willing to take all this, you know, to keep the ball rolling? You know, we've watched networks fall and we've watched networks rise and networks grow out of two networks, pop out of one network and so on and so forth. And it just kind of expanded. So I believe that everybody's pretty much on the same page as trying to make the world a better place. And maybe the results behind the scenes that we're not seeing, you know, the positive pebbles that's being thrown in the pond are a lot more than what we think or whatever. But regardless of whatever comes about of the Knights of the Round Table, one of the best things to note is that as long as I'm able to keep podcasts up on the internet, as long as they're out there and the shows continue, those will be shows that people can go back and listen to for future generations or whatever, and hopefully bring them hope and maybe even a laugh or two, or even in a better sense, that they look back and they say, well, you know, these were some wonderful people that come together to volunteer their time to do what they did, you know, and say what they said in order to try to steer, you know, this country the way it is, or this nation's, or the world in general. You know, the idea, the dream that I call it, it's a good dream, it's a worthy dream, and I think that we should keep it going. I think that we should keep all these networks growing. You know, and that's why over here on ShazizRadio.com, you'll note that if you look around, you'll find a link that says click here for other radio stations. It's actually right underneath the Awake chat room on the Super Chat. And if you click on that, it'll take you to links to other people's networks. See, because it's not all about numbers here for me. It never has been. It's all been about, you know, if people aren't satisfied with what they hear on this show, or they just want to hear what everybody else is saying, that there's access to other networks as well that they can join in on and listen. And as long as they're getting some sort of positive knowledge somewhere, I think that that's the whole key there, you know. It doesn't have to be at Shaziz Radio. It could be anywhere else. You know, if you guys want to come over and hang out on Shaziz Radio, there's a chat room there. There's a chat room over at Awake Radio. And I think 1800 Online has a chat room. And TCT Radio has a chat room. And No Borders, TNSR. I keep saying No Borders. I don't remember if they're even still there. Sorry. The names change sometimes. TNSR Radio, I know they got a chat room. And, you know, there's so many different networks. If you got a link to your chat room out there and you want me to somehow link it to this so that everybody can come over and visit your chat room, I'll put a whole page up just for links to chat rooms so that everybody knows that they got, there's always somebody you can get a hold of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, I pop in and out of here all the time on my chat room, and I see, you know, people stopping in by and to see if anybody's around, and I also see the Awake Radio chat room, and now and then I get an opportunity, I run over to the other ones and jump in there and say hi. There's just so much to do in order to keep all this stuff together, and so much to do trying to put videos together and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a movie out there quite some time back called something to the effect of Build It and They Will Come. Well, we built it, and they're showing up. You know, we'd like to see them show up a little faster than what they do, you know, or stick around in the chat room and share pertinent links with the people, the information that they need to know and that kind of stuff. You know, it's I think, in my mind, I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, this worldwide web that we've got, on one hand, has a dark side unlike anything that people can imagine. But on the other hand, it has a side that I can reach out and I can touch people across the world. I can say hi to people in Ireland and Scotland and Canada and Russia and all over the globe. To me, that's pretty profound. And there's a lot of researchers out there, people involved in alternative energy that I would have never met had it not been for this deal. I see things and I say, you know, with all these tools and all this technology, there's so much that we could accomplish for the good of all humanity. And, you know, you see stories all day long, every day, 24/7. There's all stories everywhere about all kinds of negativity, things going on, bad doomsday scenarios and craziness in the world, secret societies and whatever, you know. But how are you going to defeat the secret societies? How are you going to defeat all the bad things in the world if you don't gather your teams up and you don't go out into the world and clean up things? If there's somebody on the other side of the world that needs food, we've got somebody who is maybe not right next door to them, but maybe not too far away, that they could actually get something done for those individuals. You know, there's such hate and discontent going on between nations out there, and races and religions and stuff. And it's not the religions. It's not the different races. There's an entity out there, a darkness out there that is literally trying to keep all of us apart. Keep all of us arguing amongst each other, Democrats versus Republicans versus Libertarian versus whatever other party, so on and so forth, blacks against whites and religious against non-religious, you know, believers against non-believers or whatever. There's continual attack on everything that is good out there in this world. And even some of the best ideas are infiltrated by people that want to just try to tear it down or mess it up. You know? And so it's kind of like, I've seen this video game a long time ago where you go out there and you build these little castles and stuff, and as you're building these castles, there's people coming by trying to tear it down, you know, and you got to build your armies to protect your castle. So we're all in all of our different worlds trying to build up these walls to protect our bubbles, and we peek out the peephole there, and we look out into the world, and it looks terrible out there, and we look on the news to see what's going on farther out, and we hear all this stuff, all this negativity, terrible things happening in nations all over the globe. the weather being the way that it is here and there, storms and earthquakes and volcanoes, you know, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, so on and so forth. You know, in my spiritual belief, it's biblical to me what's going on in the world. And I'm also not supposed to concern myself for things of the world. I'm not supposed to love the world. Maybe in that sense, it kind of makes me a sinner there, because I care about other people out there. But I look at it from a different aspect, to where, you know, in my book it also says no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. Well, with that said, I don't know when God's showing up or not, you know. And so in the meantime, as a believer, I need to try to do the best I can out of a bad situation. I need to try to do what I can for my brothers and sisters around the world. I need to try to help feed the hungry and help clothe the needy, and help put shelter over people's heads, or do whatever I can to try to make this world a better place. There was somebody throughout my entire life who was always there at the right time to help me out, you know, put food in my belly, keep a roof over my head, or give me a blanket or some medicine to take care of me. I'm one of the fortunate individuals out here in this world. It's you know, even though sometimes I could say that I think I had a rough life, which, you know, by my standards, I guess it was kind of rough, but it wasn't nowhere near as bad as what it could have been, as bad as other people in this world have had it. And so I really don't have anything to complain about. I've been fortunate, and what I need to do, you know, what I feel in my heart is the right thing to do, is try to put some of that back into society the best way that I possibly can. And that's what Shaziz Radio is, you know. That's what Shaziz Mad Science is all about. It isn't about somebody becoming famous or wealthy or anything like that, because if I set out to get rich off of my mad science and this Shaziz Radio, I failed significantly. I've put out a whole lot more money than I've ever retrieved back, so that's not even an issue as far as I'm concerned. The ultimate thing is that from the heart, I try to do the best I can with what I got to work with. You know, if I had unlimited funds, I'd build a shop somewhere with all the tools necessary and invite people to come and stay in a motel that I'd pay for, or whatever, you know, even a building with its own housing or whatever, that I'd pay for that, just so that all these researchers come here at their own leisure and pitch in and help to build designs and ideas. Things that we could, you know, if we were going to patent anything, we would do it only to fund whatever it was that we needed to keep going, or send money out to people that needed it. Because there's need all over the world, even in the working families. And in some cases, especially in the working families, there's need, you know. You're either short for your light bill, or you're short for your phone bill, or your utilities of any sort. Heck, just being able to stay on the internet, it's an expense. And so, on some sense, we got it great, you know. Ken, he said it really well, you know. He said we literally are the top 2% or 1% or something like that, because if you got access to fresh drinking water, you're doing better than somebody out there, that's for sure. And I would, you know, I would love to figure out a way to make sure that everyone out there had all their needs met. You know, it's a perfect world, is what I envision that this world could be. I saw a video one time, and it took me back. It kind of set me back in my thoughts. I didn't know how to take it. It was a video of a different world or something, and on this world, There were crowds of people gathered around. They had baskets of food, and they were all taking care of each other, and they'd ask, you know, who needs this? Who needs some bread? Who needs something to drink? You know, and they were asking each other what they need, what their needs were. And they were spending all their time taking care of one another. You know, that's kind of, on one sense, sounds like the ultimate utopia. But then on the other sense, I don't know. It's just like it's something that we're not used to. We're not used to seeing people that concerned for one another. We're not used to seeing that you go wherever you want and you're never in want for anything. You're never in need of anything. If you need a shirt, somebody's there to give it to you. And everybody pitches in and they do what they can to help each other out. That, to me, would be a perfect world, you know, working in harmony with nature. At some sense there also, I just kind of like, I'm kind of greedy because I don't want to give up my technology. I like building things. I like the computer. I like learning how things work. I like the advancements. I like seeing the nifty cars that they got coming out and all the cool stuff that they do. You know, they got cars that will brake themselves. You know, if you get too close to something, it'll put on the brakes for you. They got sensors that'll tell you if you're getting too far over in the other lane. I've had futuristic Star Trek thing, you know, it's being able to fly through space and explore and do all that kind of stuff, you know, go boldly, go where no man has gone before. To me, that's pretty cool, man. I got an adventurous spirit. I'd love to go see. There's so much around, so much in this world that's yet undiscovered, so much in the universe that's yet undiscovered. And if we could only get society to stop arguing amongst each other and working together, you know, putting their differences aside and, you know, staying true to their own faith, and at the same time allowing somebody else to stay true to their own faith. You know, who knows all the answers to the world? Who knows who's right and who's wrong? You know, in my spiritual belief, there's several different versions of the book that they call the Holy Bible. There's several different versions of it, and some are supposedly wrong and some are supposedly right. You know, there's power structures in every organization out there. It's not just the churches, it's society itself, it's small towns and cities and whatever. People want you to know what they want you to know, not what you want to know. That's a hard thing to contemplate, because I want everybody to know whatever they can know. I want them to know both sides of every story so that they can make their own conscious decision what's right and what's wrong. That they can benefit their life in some way and help others. Started dumbing down our kids in school, you know, teaching them bogus science, and their kid graduate from school that can't even read a doggone book, for Pete's sake. They don't know about math. They don't know about their rights. They're taught about things like evolution. You were a little slimy, one-celled, whatever, in the ocean and turned into a fish and then grew legs and clammed out there and became a monkey, and now you're a man. The creationists believe that we were created. Regardless of all that said, taking it all the way back to the beginning of time, the beginning of everything, whether it be the Big Bang Theory or the creation, something amazing happened that neither side can fully explain, because there's no single man out there that holds all the knowledge of all society. There's nobody out there smarter than anybody else. You've got a lot of knowledge in your head on a specific subject. I've got a lot of knowledge in my head on a specific subject, and so on and so forth. There's things that you can do that I can't do. There's talents that you got, gifts that you got that I don't have. And the way that I look at it is that each one of us are like a gear in the clock, a gear in the machine. You know, independently, we got something that we can do. We have a function. But together we make a machine. Together we make up the piece of the puzzle. And the wonderful thing about this machine is you don't have to be a part of this machine 24/7. When you get done with your work, you just walk away and go on home to your own little utopia and enjoy your life. And then when it's time to work again, all the gears come together. We jump in there, we create the machine, we build it, and you know, then once again we go back to our lives. Always knowing that every single thing that we've done on every day from that point on was something that bettered humanity, that bettered our neighbors and our friends and families' lives around the world. You know, I watched a video of some time back, a documentary on a different country, I think. I can't even remember what country it was. But I'm sure it's happened in many different nations. But this one individual's job was literally to go around and disarm old landmines. There were landmines everywhere that had been put down during some sort of war or skirmish or whatever. And he said there was like over 500,000 of these landmines that they believe are in existence. And they're out there in the field, in the countryside, all over the place, you know, where children play and where people might go wandering through the woods. Could you imagine wandering through the woods and just checking out nature and how beautiful it is, and only to step on a landmine and worst case scenario kill you or even blow your legs or arms off? You know, what kind of sick individual would literally put down a landmine in the dirt that, you know, you couldn't find until later on, and might be, you know, that some innocent child steps on that? In my mind, it's a true sickness whenever people do things like that. You know, we have a wonderful bit of potential. We got a beautiful world that we're working with. And I think that coming together is about the only plan. I'm going to throw on a quick tune and see if somebody wants to join me on here.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he let's all die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
fight
one.
For Ireland, the fight for life, the fight for our right to an ordinary, decent life. So Ireland is paying out billions again. Or should I say the government, which does not at this time represent this country in any way, shape or form. We today remain leaderless. We remain cast adrift in a European sea of greed and corruption. These people talk about percentages and Eurozone and bailouts and conditions and balancing the banks. They don't talk about people and hospitals and lives and emigration and employment and survival. If a government is not for the people, then it is merely a vassal for vested, dark, despicable interests. And thus is the world until we as the Irish people defy this gross inequality we are being made to endure. Until we rise from every chair and every living room in this country, there is no difference today in colour or religion or creed or class or wage. Whether you're a plumber or an actor or jobless or from Dalkey or Mayo or Cork, we need to align with the entire country. We need to stand up to greed and despicable inequality. Somewhere in Ireland, someone is contemplating suicide. Somewhere in Ireland, there is a hungry baby without his food and a mother weeping. Somewhere is a man being told he has no work. Somewhere in a traffic jam, a man is having a heart attack and no hospital to be brought to save his life. Somewhere in Ireland, a man is counting money and smiling. Somewhere in some distant European country, men with no souls make decisions by the pen that ruin another generation here. And somewhere, a cowardly TD in Dublin carries his filthy deeds like a weight, but ignores the destruction in his own heart. Are we truly brave? I do not believe in the heart that people here are cowards. I do believe we are looking for hope, a way to see a better life. As it stands now, we have no future. All that remains is for us to become one, for our ideas and differences to merge. Underneath the shame, the sadness and the fear, I think our countrymen and women have a power and a poetic strength. I think that we are noble, and we must claim this nobility. We must crush the fear in our waking souls. We have not come this far, through this much, in so many terrible centuries, to be vanquished by men of the pen and the shirt and the tie and the greasy crunches of numbers. They will eat themselves, those who choose to keep us in a corner, taking all that is rightfully ours. We only have to acknowledge each other. We are brothers and sisters. We must rise above our bickering and look above. Look at the people who are truly destroying our lives. But also take a look in the mirror. Many of us feel, what can one man or one woman do? I have bills, I have responsibilities, I have children. Yes, you do. But you also have the same responsibilities to the people who have not yet been born here. To the older generation who sit in the cold with no heat. To the young boy or girl standing on the shore, about to leave with a suitcase and a broken heart. We are the many, we are the few, and we are the one. I am proud to be Irish, but we must act on that pride. We must rise up peacefully, but with the force of our poetic hearts. We might be broke as a nation, but we are not broken our souls and as a people. We are an idea that is celebrated around the world. And we are beloved, yet we need to show that love to the person next to us. We need to release our self-pity and turn it into compassion. We need to help each other. With each act of love, kindness and power, we as individuals will bind the vines of the millions of Irish together and form an indestructible rope of people power. Let us here and now, in this time, be the example to the world. Let us show each other on the globe that the Irish have a will. That the spirit that lies deep inside the soil of this earth is ready to be ignited, and a fire that is our hope will light across this country. We did not come through famine and oppression and loss and death for nothing. I think now of those who have so little. I think now of the ghosts of our past, the nameless graves that await our rising, the ones who never had a chance to become what they should have. I, for one, will not give up my dreams of an ordinary, beautiful life because of the endless greed of others. I hope we can join together. I hope we can turn this winter of fear into a dawn of a new life. I hope we can light a flame that will never be extinguished again. And I hope we can make the future generations proud of us. We are beautiful. We are an amazing people. And the time for fear is now over. We are the many, we are the few, and we are the one. Peace to you all.
And I tried hard to be proud of my service, but all I could feel was shame. When racism could no longer mask the reality of the occupation, these were people, these were human beings. I've since been plagued by guilt anytime I see an elderly man, like the one who couldn't walk, who we rolled onto a stretcher and told the Iraqi police to take him away. I feel guilt anytime I see a mother with her children, like the one who cried hysterically and screamed that we are worse than Saddam as we forced her from her home. I feel guilt anytime I see a young girl, like the one I grab by the arm and drag into the street. We were told we were fighting terrorists. The real terrorist was me, and the real terrorism is this occupation. Racism within the military has long been an important tool to justify the destruction and occupation of another country. It has long been used to justify the killing, subjugation, and torture of another people. Racism is a vital weapon employed by this government. It is more important weapon than a rifle, a tank, a bomber, or a battleship. It is more destructive than an artillery shell, or a bunker buster, or a Tomahawk missile. While those weapons are created and owned by this government, they are harmless without people willing to use them. Those who send us to war do not have to pull a trigger or lob a mortar round. They do not have to fight the war, they merely have to sell the war. They need a public who is willing to send their soldiers into harm's way. They need soldiers who are willing to kill and be killed without question. They can spend millions on a single bomb, but that bomb only becomes a weapon when the ranks of the military are willing to follow orders to use it. They can send every last soldier anywhere on earth, but there will only be a war if soldiers are willing to fight. And the ruling class, the billionaires who profit from human suffering, care only about expanding their wealth, controlling the world economy. Understand that their power lies only in their ability to convince us that war, oppression, and exploitation is in our interest. They understand that their wealth is dependent on their ability to convince the working class to die to control the market of another country. And convincing us to kill and die is based on their ability to make us think that we are somehow superior. Soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen have nothing to gain from this occupation. The vast majority of people living in the U.S. have nothing to gain from this occupation. In fact, not only do we have nothing to gain, but we suffer more because of it. We lose limbs, endure trauma, and give our lives. Our families have to watch flag-draped coffins lowered into the earth. Millions in this country without health care, jobs, or access to education must watch this government squander over $450 million a day on this occupation. Poor and working people in this country are sent to kill poor and working people in another country to make the rich richer. And without racism, soldiers would realize that they have more in common with the Iraqi people than they do with the billionaires who send us to war. I threw families onto the street in Iraq, only to come home and find families thrown onto the street in this country, in this tragic and unnecessary foreclosure crisis. We need to wake up and realize that our real enemies are not in some distant land. They're not people whose names we don't know and cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and people we can identify. The enemy is a system that wages war when it's profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it's profitable. It's the insurance companies who deny us health care when it's profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it's profitable. Our enemy is not 5,000 miles away. They are right here at home. If we organize and fight with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war, we can stop this government, and we can create a better world.
May peace prevail on earth.
Puisse la paix régner dans le monde.
Да будет мир человечеству во всем мире.
Que la paz prevalezca en la tierra.
Pace mbretërofte në botë.
Salam dhe mulla ala misfet.
Խաղաղություն ամբողջ աշխարհի մարդկությանը.
Ака ура пенха сума хаканя утхупа.
Yaşasın sülh bütün dünyada.
Не с ума каладаму тукулукука.
Нехай путь земир человечеству во всем свете.
Бише шанти вираж корук.
Намбай пис истап лонвол.
Нека мир завлада на земли.
Нека пребъде мира по света.
Кава люда мя, нинжан и яши базе.
Сом ай и пупло бан санте пир.
Папаска кава на мунду.
Ка ла пау превалги а ла терра.
mtendere ukale paziko la pansi.
Amani o haruma ye dunia kamili.
Pour la paix simaye dans le monde entier.
Que la paix nous règne dans le monde.
Atmir vjde varne na zemli.
No, fred herske på jorden.
برقرار با صلح در جهان
تنیگا مانکن دمهت و اندیو
موه فرید هیسن اف ارده زملی دینالو دیگی پیسن سوچو جین
اولکو مایلمس راو
ولید کن راو ها مایلمس سا
تایه ای خسم شویدو بام تلم سو پلیوش
موگه فریده اف اردن زین
εύχομαι να επικρατήσει η ειρήνη στον κόσμο.
Ισρέ σαλόμ αλέ αδαμότ.
Βίσμε σαντι ραχή.
Λέγε φρίδε ρίκια αουγιέρς.
Και ετοίμε το ατυρώ λοανάπ.
Σμούγα δάμε δι δούνια.
Κορεύ σιωκόν.
Ερτάουεν.
Και la pace regni sulla terra.
Адам затқа бүткөл дүниеде бейбітшілық болсын.
Амахоро наганзы күйсі хосы.
Амахоро йоса сагара мүйсі йос.
Теге үліве туага ирупе дуру.
Асти бу хаму джихан.
Түйнеді тұнштық болсын.
Хохай санди хап, чонми ю найло.
Лайбут мир пасауле.
Фриден мат алле мэншен об да вэлт.
Тевуна пасаулия тайка.
Нека мирот завладее на земјата.
Ледјан беке о фёлден.
Инга ни ханцака ера ни зау туту луи зау ни фанджия паха демана.
Смога дама е дидумия.
Яллал пачи и салтан фиттиня.
Himanga
rongo kirunga
itifinua. Aine man
enterion lali. Pie pache te pamut.
Dayan meg iyo yat yep.
Bishoma santi faili rahos.
Mutta devar fred po yoren.
Abu da bulm sisi rablul ar.
Telgivi sole panarikse.
برقرار باد صلح در سراسر جهان.
پیس مس استاب لونگ ورلد.
نیک بنجه پوکوی نا زمی.
کی پاش پروالیسا نو موندو.
تکسی مویو پی آلین کاوسای کاچون.
یمالو پیل فیل موی للا لولان.
سیریری ادوتی ناندو تی سیسی.
خوزو ایبتی لفاتی.
А кахисо эннетен мо лефатен.
Но вери самая паветива.
Утула акубе семсабени.
Нех покой жди владне на земи.
Най мир завлада свету.
Дуниду набат акуварто.
Амани на юе по дуниане.
Му фред рота по юден.
Санай манатили ang kapayapaan sa daigdig.
Barkaror botsul dar jahon.
Pumil samadhanam nilabattum.
Dame ba mundu tomak.
Kahay santithap tong ma sulo.
Salam ab alam nisan.
Patawang itok amirino imamani koto.
Dunyada barish taim olsun.
Dunyada tarakatsulok bolsun.
Ketu malt file mu itlalolan.
Хай буде мир людству у всьому світі.
Дуняне аман каймаре.
Дуньоде тинстик бойсе.
Толчук паби, чо то адет лайке.
To the Knights of the Round Table. I threw a link down in the chat room. Been talking about ideas and what, you know, what good ideas are going to be if you just let them go by the wayside. You know, we could have a billion ideas, but if nobody ever takes them and runs with them, then they really ain't going to go far. And so I threw a video link down in there from Deeds. He's one of the guys I subscribe to on the alternative energy, and he always does a really amazing work. He's got fine craftsmanship, and you're just a wonderful guy to listen to. If you have an opportunity and want to go over there and subscribe to him, that would be a good thing. But he's working on a Bedini-driven Wimshurst machine, which it's really cool. I can't wait to see how his progress on that. If anybody could get it running, Deeds is the one. And with that said, you know, it's working more along the lines of what I've been talking about, trying to get a high voltage system running. I would love to see how this comes out, because I want to build one myself. But either way, there's a lot of brilliant individuals out there. You know, I hadn't heard from my friend Cultus for quite some time, but I seen a video he did a little while back about a bucking coil, and you know, he was getting some pretty interesting results out of that. And there's Ryan out there. He's a pretty busy person, but he's been putting some really awesome videos out there of different circuitry and stuff that he's been working on. And Terry Woodruff out there have been doing some really amazing stuff. There's just so many of them out there. There's links to some of their YouTube channels, and I'm sure that they've got links to other YouTube channels of other people in alternative energy. And so, you know, if you get some time, go out and jump on their channels. You can catch some of their links through my YouTube channel over there on www.youtube.com/aziz. And even if you don't subscribe to me, just run on over there and check out the links that are connected on the suggested channel portion of there, because guys like Muddy Mudman doing actual flux wind turbines and doing some really amazing work there. You know, they're brilliant individuals, and I'm amazed and honored and glad to have all these guys around. And the information that we've shared is just amazing, how much information and research that we have combined. And that's why I think that together we could accomplish so much. There's just so many brilliant individuals out there. And these ideas that we've got, like I said, I want to try to put together a website that, not a website, but on the website, I want to put together a deal where people can submit ideas to share with everybody else, you know, or links. You know, that's one of the things I keep saying to everybody. If you got a network out there and you want people to come to that network, I want to put a link on this one for you that you can. But, you know, if they don't have what we don't have, what they need over here, they can come over to your place and your listen to your radio shows and check out your content as well. This hasn't never been about a centralized deal. It's just kind of been about grabbing up a bunch of like-minded individuals and trying to help each other out, promote each other's websites and YouTube channels and business adventures and Revolution Green. There's some folks out there. There's a link down in the bottom of the chat room for Revolution Green. You'll see a picture underneath the Awake chat room in the super chat on Shaziz Radio. And they're trying to gather up some funds to get a 3D printer so that they can help out other researchers, you know, print out parts that, you know, for atmospheric motors or whatever, you know. And anything you can do to help out any of these groups out here that are trying to benefit the world, you know, folks that, like Awake Radio and all the different networks, TCT and 1800 and Tinosaur and all the other networks that are affiliated, you hear us talking about all the time. You know, most of these guys do it on their own dime, and if you can help fund them in any way, or just not even necessarily just fund them, just go over and, you know, visit their sites and talk in the chat rooms and call in the shows and stuff like that. Support them, you know, any way that you can. Because this whole thing that we've got going on, to me, seems to be such a bigger deal than we give ourselves credit for. It seems to be the stepping stones into the future for of humanity. If individuals like us aren't willing to step forward and talk about things and share ideas, you know, if we just go on about our own separate ways and you know, live our own separate lives and never even communicate with each other, then the global elite of the world, the rich bankers keep on doing what they do to everybody and wars and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, while it doesn't affect you maybe in the short term, if somebody's dropping a bomb on a country that's so many miles away from you that you'll probably never go there in your lifetime, it does affect us all. It affects us all. It's a ripple effect. Anytime we lose a single soul on this planet, we lose a big piece of the puzzle. There's so much that we could accomplish together that it's just mind-boggling. And so, with that said, I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody across the waters. You know, I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody for any reason out there. I want people to come together, share ideas and solutions, and that's why we built this network called Chaziz Radio and Awake Radio and 1800 Online, TCT, and Revolution Radio, and there's just so many of them. There's just so many of them. I need to try to get together with everybody and make a list so I can sit there and go down and give them all credit. But either way, all you got to do is go over there to ShazizRadio.com, superchat.html, and look right underneath the Awake Radio chat room, and you'll see a Facebook share button where you can share it to your friends out there on Facebook, and you also see a click here for other radio stations, because this whole entire deal isn't about Shazoo's Radio or Awake Radio or 1800 Online. This is about information and sharing information with everybody around the world. And if you can't find what you need on this radio network, then I'm sure that on the other networks that you click, when you click there for the other radio stations, that they might be talking about what you need. They might be somebody over there that you can go over there and make a new friend or whatever to find the information that you do need. And the chat rooms are great for posting links and videos, stuff that you want people to see, information to get heard. I mean, this is an awesome tool, folks. You know, I talked about that video that I saw where the guy built the baseball field out in the middle of the, you know, field, and everybody thought he's crazy. Why are you building this out there, you know? And I think the name of the movie was You Build It and They'll Come. Well, we're building it, and they're coming. I'd like to see everybody show up a little bit faster so that we know that we're making a larger impact on the world than what we are. But either way, any step forward is better than a step backwards. And so with that said, if you got anything out there, you know, a fundraiser you're trying to get together or whatever, you know, come on here for a minute and tell the world what you're trying to work on, why you're trying to do it, and so on and so forth. We can post links on all of our sites. You know, together we got so much combined site space that we could put pertinent information down for people, or just jump in the chat room and throw down a link to something. You got a GoFundMe thing going on and you need some help with something, you know, or if you got something you're trying to help somebody else with, if you have something to offer that you want to try to donate to whoever, you know, that's the whole thing, you know, helping one another out. It's blatantly obvious that our representation around the world doesn't care enough to make this stuff right. You know, it seems like everything any government gets their hands on, they destroy. And so with that said, it's up to we the people to make a difference. It's up to us to define the lives that we want to lead, you know. It's up to us to build the stepping stones for our personal children and our friends and family around the world's children as well. You know, what we do today will definitely, without a doubt, define the world that they live in tomorrow. And so I hope that in some small way that Shazoo's Radio and Mad Science Show and all this stuff, all this effort that I've put forth, I hope that it's in some way, you know, that maybe it's an old podcast that's been up there for some time. One of the old Knights of the Round Table might have the solution for somebody in there. Maybe one of the Mad Science shows has the missing piece to the puzzle of somebody's research. And as long as the internet's around and free for people to get up there and check out stuff, then that information will be up there. There'll be podcasts for future generations to look back and see what we've done. Your radio podcast and so on and so forth. So with that said, I got my friend Dublin on here, and maybe he got something he want to talk about. Dublin, you around? Hello?
Yeah. Sorry, I had you on mute. Yeah.
I lost you there, brother.
Yes, sorry, I hit the mute button again by accident. No, keep going. You're doing a great job. I just want to say it's lovely and warm here in Spain, and hopefully, I think we're getting very close to cracking the energy problem. I think this time next year we will have working models, and we'll all be able to copy them.
I agree. I believe we've already got everything we need. It's just a matter of building it.
Yeah, we're that close. I mean, all the evidence is pointing to it, and we're that close. So as soon as we've got one or two working models, we'll all start copying it madly and spreading the word, and before you know it, it'll be viral around the planet, and the oil companies can take a hike.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. That's the ultimate goal, man. Anything to get people out from underneath the power of the power companies and all those guys out there, you know. I don't begrudge anybody making a living or earning a decent, you know, building a decent company or whatever. But at some point, I feel like some of these companies just get too big that they don't care about anybody anymore. It's more about, you know, staying alive and making as much money as you can to ensure that you never fail.
No, this is it. I mean, yeah, oil will never cease to be in demand. I mean, it's used in everything. It's used in clothes, it's used in plastics, it's used in many, many things. So the idea that if we replace the car engine that runs on water, the oil production will stop. It ain't going to happen. The oil companies are still going to make profits, but they're not going to make it on our backs. You know, it'll be choice. We can say we want that product, we want that one, but we don't need your gasoline, or we don't need your diesel oil. You know, we're not dependent on you. But that's what they want to close down. They want to close down any inventions by taking up the patent system. They want to close down any inventions by saying it's state, what's the word, it's vital to the war effort, that kind of logic. So we just got to keep resisting it. As soon as we find a way of making cars run on water, or, you know, this other one, the spark plugs, you know, kind of spark gap solutions that seem to be working very well, producing electricity out of the ground or in the atmosphere, then once we got that, we're in business. Hey, you know, we don't need them no more.
Yeah. You know. I think that... Doggone it, had a thought on my mind. I think that what we've been doing here is a really important deal, and I would like to see that because of the whole net neutrality deal getting ready going, is that we could get together those folks. There's some really brilliant individuals that are working with Linux programs and open source software that could literally build side by side a better internet for the people, by the people, owned by the people, that you know, if they shut that one down or the one we're on right now down, that's no big deal. We'll just fire one back up, mobile servers and such like that, you know. We could still communicate with each other, even in worst case scenario that they, you know, shut down the doggone system as it stands. You know,
yeah, mesh network is the way forward. All your mobile phones connect. I saw a company that put these kind of like antennas on the top of apartment blocks, and your mobile phone talks to these antennas, which the people would own rather than the government.
Yeah.
And they pass the message backwards and forwards across all the antennas across the city. And then when you make a call, say you want to make a call somewhere, your mobile phone will go across the mesh to your house, and then you use your landline to make a call. And then you, or internet or whatever. So, and if you can't use the internet the way you want, the mesh will hook in other places. And so I think, yeah, we will get around these net neutrality sensors, for want of a better word, because that's what they intend to do. They intend to... What they want to do with the internet is turn it into, like, satellite TV, where you got 4,000 TV stations to tell you the information they want to tell you, and you just sit back and soak it all up, and you've no input. Whereas at the moment, the internet is two-way. You throw out your ideas, I throw out mine, everybody else throws out theirs, and we work from that. But if they get full control of the internet, they will aim in the direction of the 4,000 approved stations, this university, that government body, that medical message, that pharmacy company. They tell us everything, and we just have no say if it's true or isn't it true. Total censorship. So we got to resist every way we can.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing right there. You know, I see a future where information is like... I had opened up a website and it had some sound playing on it. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Right. Well, I see a future where information is like, you know, people trying to block out information, you know, like almost a cyber war of epic proportions going on. One internet against the other internet. The people's internet against the government internet, trying to shut everybody up, you know. So...
Well, I mean, at the moment in America, if President Obama wants to get on and send a message to every mobile phone in America, he can override every television station, he can override every radio station with his message, which might be, "Hi, I'm the President of America," in case you forgot. Any message he feels like giving. He can shut down all radio, all television, all mobile phones, and that message will get through and interrupt your conversation with your friends. But up to now, they haven't been able to do that with internet. Now that net neutrality is stepping in, and if it finally goes through, it's classed as a utility. And they'll be able to do exactly the same as they can with television. More than that, they will be able to look at a web station like, I don't know, Alex Jones or your one or anybody else and say, "We don't think that you're supplying a service to society."
The scary thing about all that is it was already, people already said it was on its way, you know, that... these governments are trying to do all this stuff, you know, to take control or whatever. You know, it's almost like a scene out of the Twilight Zone when you think about it. You know, that under the guise of so-called protection or whatever, they're gonna do what they're doing. You know.
Yeah, well, it's going to be still harder with the internet to stop us because, I mean, there's Iceland, and Iceland will supply us servers which are not part of the grid. And so you or me or anybody who has a problem with an FCC guy or a European equivalent or a Russian equivalent can go to Iceland and set up the web server there and bypass them. You know what I mean? It's still going to be a bit tricky, but it will be bypassable, you know, by various methods of stealth. But it will be harder to recruit more people because they will have to get past the censorship to try to listen to what we're saying. You know, you and me will always bypass it one way or the other, even if they have to get pigeons to carry the messages, we'll bypass them. But you know, trying to get other folks on board and increase the numbers will become harder. That's where the problem lies.
Well, that's why I think that now's the time to get things rolling before then, you know?
Oh yeah, but we're just Josephs, we're all doing our best, so hopefully we will, one or two of us will succeed and get whatever is required built and get it out there and get it all and up and ready before they can really shut it down. I mean, it still will take them a few years to shut down the net.
Oh yeah, they couldn't just kill it all in one shot. It's just too much.
Well, they could shut it all off, but the trouble is that would damage their structure.
Well, and yeah, a lot of their money systems going through there.
And I don't even think money worries them. It's more that they view using the internet as a tool of control. So if they completely shut it down, they lose one of their tools of control. And so they want to shut off our ability to use their tools. You know what I mean? So that will take them longer.
Well, anyway, like I was saying on that Linux deal, there's a Linux internet radio program that they're working on, and it's now on, I think it says freenode.net or Juxty. I don't know what that means. Channel number Juxty. freenode.net. I'll have to look that up and see if there's a link to what they're working on and post that down there. But there are some really brilliant individuals that are learning or either learning or know in writing software. You know, they know it inside and out. And together, you know, with some electronics guys or something like that, we could put together our own internet, like I said, with mobile hubs and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, but the other thing too is people have got to try and go out there and get hold of old computers. You know, one's about 3, 4, 5 years old, and the hard disk and all that.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
The new computers that are going to come with our hard disks. And everything will go into the cloud. And when they don't want you doing what you're doing, they'll just shut your link off to the cloud. All your pictures, all your Facebook, all your, you know, everything, all that stuff, whatever he does with the net, you'll be cut off.
Well, one of the things,
if you still have old computers with hard drives, you'll be able to still use the mesh and other solutions. But if you have the newer computers, they may have a kill switch that can kill your bloody computer off, as well as your link to the cloud.
Yeah.
And that's why you need, well, I keep telling everybody, you need to get out there and buy a junker car, you know. The old-fashioned car with a spark plug, no electronics. You know, 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s. Cars with very little electronics. You need to get out there. Even if you don't use it, park it in the back. Have it as backup.
Well, to back up what you just said, this computer that I'm on is an old Dell, the one that I'm talking to you on. I've got two computers connected with a hardwire going across the other side for the microphone and all that. But it's an old Dell, and it's only got like a 10 gig hard drive on it at that, somewhere around about. But Muddy put the Linux program on this thing, and this thing works better than all the other newer versions that I got, and it was just an old junk computer. And so, you know, you can put this software on a flash drive and turn any computer, and even use a computer without a hard drive, just run it off of the flash drive and still surf around on it. So this software is really impressive, and I've messed around with Microsoft software on different things and HP computers, and whenever you lose all your information off your hard drive, then you got to go search around trying to find the drivers. This thing, I put this program on there, and it found not only all the drivers, but it found and connected to the network as well. And so, I mean, it was a breeze. It took an old junky, what would have been normally sitting out on a curb computer, and turned it into something that was usable. And like I said, it's fast. It's a really good system, and it was just a junky computer. And so
what? Well, yeah, you can revamp a lot of the old computers using Linux because Microsoft tends to be, I don't know how to define it, fluffy.
Yeah.
Very, very code heavy. They take 10 lines of code to do what one line of Linux will do.
Well, probably most of that is spyware, you know, something to spy on you with. And then with that said, you know, a lot of different software that you had in there, once your hard drive crashes, you can't get back. And, you know, you try, like I said, the driver portion of it. Just the drivers alone are worth the Linux portion because it found every single driver in there for the sound card and all the USB ports and everything. And so, you know, I didn't have to go out searching like I did before for drivers. It found them all.
Yeah, I must get that Linux version off you guys. And, the other thing, too, is my intel at the moment is there's a lot of... I was thinking earlier, a couple of weeks ago, that all the ports in the USA were shut down on the western coast. I don't know, did you see that?
No, I hadn't heard anything about that. I know that there was something went on outside, you know, close to the White House where somebody's food truck or something like that caught fire. But other than that, you know, I don't think they tell us half of what's going on around, you know. I think that...
They really don't. I mean, Langley, the CIA base, about a week ago was completely in lockdown for about a few days. Now, nobody's able to come back to confirm why that happened and what it's about. But all the ports on the west coast of America were on slow time because the Chinese own all the ports. And they basically said to the union, you got to take half your money or whatever. You know, we're reducing your rates of pay. And, of course, they kicked up and they went to go slow. It was going as best as I could see to turn into a complete stoppage. Now 70% of all goods come through the West Coast from the Pacific. So that would have basically turned America into a quagmire within a few months. You know, you wouldn't have any food on the shelves, nothing.
Yeah, it's just nuts. It's so much different. The background noise is... Steven's talking about what's the background noise. He's in a cafe, an internet cafe.
That's the problem.
Spain.
Anyway, it now seems that an agreement was reached. The Chinese were very unhappy with some group. They said had stolen some nuclear missiles and were due to set them off. I don't know if this is all true. Anyway, an agreement was reached, and the Chinese, the fact of, were gone back to the original deals they had with the unions on the West Coast, and now they're unwinding the strike on the West Coast. If that's true, it's better news for America. If it's not true, then if all the ports from the Western Coast do shut down, it will cause bedlam in America. You won't be able to buy nothing on the shelves because 70% of everything America has comes through those ports.
Well, there's this, you know, huge power struggle going on behind the scenes and out there in public, and nobody knows what's going on where half the time because you ain't getting nothing but, you know, whatever Justin Bieber got in trouble for or some stupid movie star or something like that on there, or some deflate gate. They was talking about a football being not having enough air in it. You know, the ignorance that goes on in the mainstream media is just mind-boggling, and it drives me freaking batty that these folks, when we know that there's all kinds of things that need to be seriously addressed in this world, there's things going on out there in the world that are way more important, like, you know, whether or not the Fukushima disaster, which is ongoing, is a serious problem that's causing, you know, the entire sea to die off over there. And then, you know, I still think that they should still be talking about the doggone BP oil spill and all the tons of corrective that they threw into the ocean. I think the two combined, between the BP oil spill and the corrective they threw in there, and the Fukushima combined together, make a huge problem for humanity, you know. But you don't hear them talking about that stuff on there. You'll hear them talking about all kinds of ignorance. And they're, you know, talking about trying to get Hillary Clinton elected in 2016, you know. Why is the American people just not standing up in rage over this whole entire deal? I mean, it's the same people in office all the time. It's the Clintons, it's the Bushes, it's...
you have to understand that something like 6 or 10 individuals own all the Western world press. So if you want to get a more balanced point of view, you have to buy a Russian newspaper or maybe a South American newspaper or something like that. Even they've got their own slant. But my latest intel is that the Ukrainian war is basically over. The Ukrainian government has surrendered to the Russian government and to some deal, and they surrendered to the Russians. And the Israeli Mossad is so angry at that that they are now putting hundreds, maybe thousands of Mossad agents into Russia to cause a regime change in Russia. But none of that's been reported in the media, because the media knows all that. But the job of the media is to tell you something when it's too late. Now, the problem is if Mossad is attacking Russia and trying to bring in a regime change, they're the ones that shot your man the other day, it's liable to blow up on their face very badly. So Putin's not the kind of guy who's going to take that. He might nuke the shit out of Israel, I don't know. The trouble with nuclear stuff is it spreads all over. So, you know, if you nuke one part of the planet, this stuff will come to the other side of the planet within a year or two.
Well, and that's the thing here. You're all talking about bring peace.
The other intel I have is that the world economy will probably shut down in September. Yeah, that looks like when it will shut down. But I don't know. They said that a few times before, so that hasn't happened.
Yeah, it's hard to say, man.
Just update me what my intel is.
All I can say is that we just need to take it one day at a time and prepare for the worst and hope for the best, that kind of deal. You know, I don't want to live in fear, nor do I want other people else out there to live in fear, but you got to pay attention to what's going on out there. These folks are supposedly out there trying to make peace deals with everybody. You know, and they're all fighting over the same doggone thing, either money or resource. Nobody called their grandma something bad that's worth killing somebody over, you know. Nobody's out there doing, you know, there's supposedly all these terrorists running around chopping people's heads off. Why isn't the entire world enraged, running over there and stopping these people from doing that? I mean, come on. Doesn't matter what.
Well, that's the idea. They're trying to drag us into that area, and that's not actually what's really happening.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. I don't know, because I'm not there. If I was there and I was part of, seeing what was going on, I would be doing whatever I could to stop and save the people from getting. But they tell us all this stuff, you know, like the whole deal with Saddam supposedly having all these weapons of mass destruction. They get over there and supposedly he didn't have them. He did have them or he didn't have them. Either way, all we're getting is a one-sided story from the media, and these guys can tell us whatever they want, do whatever they want, get by with whatever they want, even when the multiple scandals pop up, like missing emails and agencies being used against the people that ain't supposed to be used against the people, and so on and so forth. All we got is what they said to be truth. And then in the background, here we are on the alternative media trying to tell the real truth on there, and we still, to this day, can't get a grip on what the total reality is, because it's all scattered information. And so...
Yeah, well, the thing is, what they're not telling you is that half the Iranian army is now in Iraq.
Well, that don't surprise me, none.
Yeah. Oh. The Iranian army is now fighting us alongside the Iraqi army against ISIS, because ISIS is Sunni Muslim, and the most of Iraq and nearly all of Iran is Shia Muslim, and ISIS is killing Shia Muslims. And so the Americans have abandoned, they want ISIS to take over Iraq. And the Shia Muslims in Iraq thought, well, let's call on our buddies next door, the Iraqis, to come in and help us. Because ISIS is owned by the Americans and the Israelis. They use it, it's like a rent-a-terrorist. And they give all the money to Saudi to use ISIS to attack all these places. But, I mean, do you know?
Well, I got
ISIS,
something.
You
I
know
got
what uniform the ISIS is wearing? They're wearing the American Army uniform. You look at ISIS. I was listening to an expert the other day. The American Army made several new uniforms to try them in different war situations. And in the end, the one that they chose not to use is now being given to ISIS.
Well,
I
thought something stuck when they were talking about how they accidentally dropped a whole bunch of food and supplies and ammo to them at one point. And, you know, at one time you could call an accident. But then they did it again. So here you go, wait a second. Why are you accidentally, on multiple occasions, dropping supplies to the guys that are supposedly the bad guys?
Well, this is why the American Army last year refused to attack Syria. Because the American Army guys know that every day of the week they're flying their helicopters into ISIS areas and Al-Qaeda areas, which is really Al-Qaeda, handing them the weapons, and now Al-Qaeda will take the weapons off the helicopter, and they say, you know, Mr. American, if I ever see you, you know, where I can kill you, I will kill you. I mean, you're handing these guys the weapons, and they're telling you to your face they're going to kill you. So the American soldiers come back, and they say, no, we refuse to attack Syria.
Well, yeah, there's another thing about what you just said right there is they're over there burning the American flag, yet our supposed president's over there trying to broker a deal with them. You know?
The president of America is a communist. End of story. He just wants to destroy America. He doesn't care how.
Well, personally, I think he's worse than that, but I won't get into that right now. But
everything he does fits exactly the profile of a hardcore communist and how you would destroy America. But that's another day's work.
I think he's a biblical antichrist myself.
No, he's one of the antichrist helpers, but that's another day's work.
Whatever he is, he isn't doing any good. He's not. His track record stinks.
Oh, yeah, well, that too. But what Obama's doing that's more bad is he's removed something like 800 top generals, top American officers from the American Army. So the American Army and Air Force and so forth, he's less of an, you know, it's now being run by less superior soldiers, for want of a better word. I mean, Stalin did the same. When Germany attacked Russia in the Second World War, there was hardly a general who left standing who knew how to add two and two. So they weren't able to put up a good fight against the German enemy. Because Stalin was convinced all the generals were trying to kill him, so he had all the top officers, captains, generals, lieutenants, all pumped off. But all he had was millions of privates. And, you know,
That's why I say that one of two things is going on right now. Either he is so just incredibly incompetent / stupid, or he is doing it deliberately.
He's doing it deliberately.
Now, that's what I believe.
If you look at the strategy the hardcore communists use for destroying a nation or a targeted nation or whatever, a democratic republic, he's using all the classic ones. So, I mean, he ticks all the boxes of a hardcore communist in destruction mode. I mean, there's nothing else that fits. I mean, you can try psychopathic, he can try sociopathic, he can try all the rest, but he ticks all those boxes. Because he was put in there by the powers that were also communists that wanted him in to do their work. And he got in, and he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. So he doesn't even have the brain power to figure all this out. They just ring him up and say, look, we want you to fire this general, we want you to fire that general, we want you to fire, you know, this CIA guy, that FBI guy, you know. Guys who could get in the way because they would believe in patriotism, because they would believe in saving the Republic, whatever. They're all being got rid of. You know, demoted or sidelined or fired or whatever. Retired, you name it.
Well, it's funny that all this that we're talking about has been talked about for a long time, whatever anybody thinks of Alex Jones or any of the other people out there in alternative media. A lot of the things that they said was coming down the water came down the water, just like they said it was going to. And so with that said, it wasn't like that nobody had an advance warning that we were heading down this road. You know what I mean?
And I mean, I was just listening to an expert today, and he said if you go back to the Time magazine or some magazine that was out in the 60s, I think his name is Benjamin Netanyahu or some name like that, from if he was the then Prime Minister of Israel, he said we will destroy America, we will destroy Russia, we will do this, all in the 60s, you know, we're going to have World War III. Everything he has said that Israel would do has been done. You mean?
Yeah.
And there's still more to go. So, and that was in the 60s. So, I mean, these guys tell you decades in advance what the plan is.
Well, one thing you can say about the evilness of this world, they sure are patient, you know what I mean? And they are consistent, they're patient, incrementally destroying everything around them, pitting brother against brother, nation against nation. You know, all of that stuff was kind of said in this book that I go by, this book of faith that I have, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, I stick to the Bible, but the...
That's what I'm talking about.
You have to bear in mind, probably at this stage in the USA, I would say 30% of the population would work against the American people, because they've been educated through this communist common core education system. They probably got a job in federal or whatever. And so you have to assume that when it's the going gets rough, that 30% of the population will have stockpiles of food and guns, but they won't be doing it to save America. They'll be using it to fight America.
Well, I kind of believe that, because all the different false flags and false event things going on here in America, you'd have to ask, how can you get that many people to agree to do something that not only is treasonous and illegal, but to do something that's going to destroy their own country? And the only other thing
if you stop on the streets of America and you ask most Americans the three branches of the government, they can't tell you.
Yeah,
they don't even know that there's three branches.
My point is this.
They don't even know that America is a republic. You know, they just say it's democracy. Well, democracy is two wolves hunting for one sheep. He's going to be dinner.
My point is this, man. Just like somebody selling their soul to the devil, you know, promising them you'll be a rock star. I'll make you a rock star. All you do is sign right here. And that's exactly what all these people must have done. Either sold their soul to the literal devil or sold their soul to the government. You know, we're going to provide a utopia where everything's peaceful and nobody has guns or anything like that. We're going to make a really beautiful world, a utopia for you to enjoy. And all you got to do is follow in and help us do this, you know. Help us pull the wool over everybody else's eyes, and we'll give you some money,
that's,
too.
That's how communism does it. Yeah, that's how communism does it. I mean, you look at, say, the head of a city, you know, maybe a big town. These guys are on 250.
Uh-oh, looks like I lost you there, brother. Do-do-do-do. Did I lose myself? Lost sound there with you. Well, anyway, everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I think Devlin lost his connection, and so we'll try to get him back. But in the meantime, I guess I'll go ahead and take a music break and refresh the old copy so y'all can get your copy as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
When I die and I'm the table. All rise for the king to fill the table and the knights of the round table.
Hello, everybody. I read a comment in the chat room over at Shaziz Radio that I think I need to read out. Awakened Mind typed in the chat room over there on Shaziz Radio. The world public at large are immersed in big sleep. Can they be awakened? That's the big question right there. Which, to me, would point out more of a reason why we literally need to be the guardians of our world. Because, as I see it, you know, just like any other guard would be walking around and keeping people safe in camp while they're asleep, we need to be the guardians of the world to keep an eye on the evil that never sleeps, you know. It's... In my mind, it makes common sense, but, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that they just go through life as if, you know, they ain't not a care in the world. They live in their own little bubble, and as long as nothing is in their backyard that's dangerous, they don't worry about it. And then when something dangerous does come in their backyard, they figure, well, I can just call the police, and the police can take care of it. Well, you know, there could come a day when the police don't come. You know, when you call, they're too busy with whatever, and they don't come. So that little bubble that you live in might just up and burst one day. You know, it might be such a case that when you reach out and holler for help, you know, there's nobody there to help. You should be self-contained to the extent that you can take care of yourself and that you have some knowledge base to where you can actually feed your family and defend your family and that stuff. And this is why, you know, gun control is one of the biggest issues over here, is that the fact that, like myself, for example, I live out in the country, and so the nearest sheriff deputy would be anywhere from 45 minutes away to possibly never, unless he just happened to be in the right neighborhood at the right time. And so if a burglar jumps through my window, I got to defend myself immediately. I ain't got no time to wait around, call 911. You know, if the police aren't in the neighborhood and they're not able to watch over my house while I sleep, then that job is left up to me. And so what do I do, you know? If they had a total all and all out gun ban and I'm there with my bare fist or a broom handle or whatever I got to try to defend myself and keep the bad guy at bay, I'm pretty much at the mercy of whoever's got the biggest muscles or whoever's got the biggest gun kind of thing, you know, bigger knife. You know, I pull out my little pocket knife and he's like, that's not a knife, this is a knife, like the old Crocodile Dundee dude, you know, with the big old machete looking knife. So with that said, you know, your rights, they really do matter. Your voice, they really do matter. Your freedom, it really does matter. Ask those in nations that are of communist nations where they don't have choices. They don't. They're at the mercy of the police. They're at the mercy of the government. And they are so dependent on that government that if that government ever walks away, then they don't know what to do. What about a communist nation to where the government completely collapses around them? And then suddenly they're at their own mercy. They don't no longer have supplement checks coming in to take care of them. They don't have the food resources on the store shelves that they need. They don't know how to farm because it's always been an easy system. Everything was done for them. They were taken care of. You know, we talk about a society to where advancements are, you know, coming into where we got satellites in the air and cell phone and TV towers and power grids and all that kind of stuff that nature in itself, a big old massive solar flare could shut that down in an instant. And then suddenly everybody's left to their own devices, your news by word of mouth or sending a letter like the old days in the wagon train days or even further back than that. And so with that said, just worst case scenario, you buy insurance for your home, you buy insurance for your car, you buy insurance for your health, but how many people are literally buying insurance for their family to take care of their family with knowledge insurance? You know, if you got the family and you can't get to the hospital for some reason, you're now at the mercy of you're now at the mercy of whatever knowledge you got. Can you bandage somebody up? Can you stitch a serious wound or help to heal that person? You know, a lot of the Native American Indians out there, they have handed down from generation to generation different medicines and ideas and things that how to, you know, more of a community-based society than what we actually have out here in the modern world. And in Amish communities and such, these folks, they learned how to grow food and they learned how to do medicine and stuff. And so, in worst case scenario, they'd probably be the best off. The average Joe out here doesn't have enough knowledge to take care of themselves. If your loved one is sitting there bleeding and you can't get them to the hospital because either the roads are all shut down or you have no fuel for your vehicle or, you know, medical supplies that you need, then you can't just jump on and call 911 and have an ambulance come out to you. This is where the danger lies, you know. If society was to collapse, you know, the whole worst case scenario that we've all talked about on many occasions, where would you stand? Would you be able to fix up the wounds of your family, or would you have to stand there and just watch them die? That's a terrible thought. It's like it's a terrible thought to think that you aren't going to be able to feed your family. And then that's when people get desperate and start going around trying to steal whatever they need, the food or the medicine. I think that if something could potentially come down the line like that in the future, then you should, as a community, plan to try to do something before it gets to that point. You know, why wait till everything goes bad? You put a spare tire in the trunk of your car for a purpose, you know, just in case you'll have a way to get back home. And so you should do the same thing with your lives, you know. And as a community in your own general vicinity, you all should get together in groups and have plans, worst case scenario plans. And you should get together and talk about, you know, if the worst case scenario happened, what kind of stores do we have? What kind of, how long could we get by with what we all got in our own personal shelves? And would we be willing to do some sort of community-based sharing or even bartering system in order to get by? You know, these are things that you should talk about before the disaster instead of after the disaster. If you've never seen the movie Road Warrior, I suggest you go out there and watch the old movie Road Warrior. And look how those individuals lived. Running around scrounging and fighting for things and, you know, gangs taking over territory and all this kind of stuff. Who wants to live in a society such as that? Now, for continuity of government or whatever other reason that the elite do what they do, they have backup plans. They have bunkers, they have storage of food and water and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, it's not for you. It's for continuity of government. It's to keep the people that keep the government going, going. And the crazy thing about all that is your tax dollars and your hard labor and efforts paid for that safety cushion for them. You paid for that. You paid for those bunkers, and you paid for those bombs and those guns and airplanes and tanks and all that kind of stuff that, in worst case scenario, would turn around and be used against you. So, common sense to me would be that if you want to be strong, you have to be strong. You have to be wise. You have to be knowledgeable. You have to build your own personal army if necessary. You know, they called them Minutemen, they called them Patriots, they called them, now they call them terrorists. The folks that believe in the Second Amendment and they hold up their rights as to be sacred and necessary for freedom to live on. That these are the guardians, the watchers, the people that keep their eye on all the things that that are going on in the world, so they can, you know, ensure that no matter what, freedom lives on. If the entire government was to collapse, the entirety of society didn't have to go down with it, and that freedom could we could all get back and organize and build the government the right way the next time, or whatever. You know, the United States of America only lasted as long as it has so far because of those rights, because of that United Constitution, that United States Constitution that says right at the very tip top of it, "We the people." And it was signed by all these individuals at the bottom. And, you know, there's people out there that say, "Oh, well, these guys are nothing more than terrorists and crips and thieves and so on and so forth," regardless of what they were. Regardless of their backgrounds, their beliefs, that one particular document signed in the history of the United States of America, given the separations of powers to different entities so that there would constantly be this argument amongst each other. Nothing could necessarily get done. Some one power couldn't get stronger than the other and take over the United States and destroy it, such as what we've seen today. The founding fathers of the United States of America would roll over in their graves if they seen what was going on. Excuse me. So, you know, with that said, think about that. Go back and look at the Constitution of the United States, or even the Constitution of your own land, or whatever document that separated you between the government. Now, I believe our God-given rights are the ultimate. I believe that God is the ultimate authority. And so I believe our rights as humans come from our Creator. But as we're down here in amongst men, we have to have literally contracts to protect ourselves from other men, it just seems. Because mankind just hasn't seemed to grasp the idea that greed and stupidity and power and all that corruption is doing nothing. It's doing nothing but destruction. It's doing nothing but destroying what humanity could accomplish. So, if you want a future for your children that mimics the road warrior style mentality, to where gangs and whoever's strong, the strong survive and the weak are killed off or whatever. If that's the society that you want to live in, the government is the best bet. You should go over and join up with them. Join their militaries and join their ranks and follow everything and let, you know, the best plan win, I guess. You know, the ends justifies the means according to all the governments of this world. It's okay to kill off this person over here, and in the midst of killing off this person over here, you might take out a few extra collateral damage. And to me, the ends doesn't justify the means when it starts off with murder. This thing's going on all over this planet, you know. Barry, I think, just typed in a deal on the Knights of the Round Table on Skype. It's one of the other things that needs to be addressed. It says in this comment, new reports of thousands of sea lions dying on the coast. Very, very disturbing. And it is very disturbing. We've got so many monumental problems going on in this world that we as humans need to be addressing. You know, if you look out there, you'll see stories about birds dying off and bees disappearing and, you know, nature just going crazy. In my book of faith that they call the Holy Bible, it talks about, in Revelations, it talks about wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famines, and pestilence. But if you're a non-believer, that's your choice, but you can't deny that book was pretty spot on to the whole deal. And regardless of whether that book was spot on or whether you even care to even look at it or not, You can't look out in society and say that we don't have a problem. You know, even the New Agers will say that, hey, you know, we got to take care of nature, you know, we got to take care of Mother Earth. But as humanity, are we? That's the question, are we? And if there's thousands of sea lions dying off, then we've got a problem, people. If there's thousands of fish washing up on seashores and lake shores and this and that, birds falling out of the sky, we've got a problem. We don't have time to allow our governments of this world and our representation to be running around starting wars with one another over resource. There is not, nor has there ever been, an energy crisis on this planet. It's all been a power structure from start to finish. If you go back and you look at the history of J.P. Morgan and all the different big names in the 1800s that were fighting over industry, and you see the dirty deeds that they pulled on one another alone just to try to become the most powerful entity, you can understand that that hasn't stopped. You still will hear about the Morgans. You still hear about the Rothschilds. Big names, big money all over the globe. Big bankers that have power. Behind the scenes, pulling strings. You know, I got to go over and start this war over here so that I can get this contract with these folks over here to buy my product instead of their product. You know, there was a talk about Gaddafi trying to tell everybody in the world that he wasn't going to accept the dollar anymore or the euro for oil, that he was only going to accept gold. That made him a dangerous individual, and suddenly he became a terrorist. Maybe he was a terrorist. But either way, him accepting gold would make him more powerful, because he who has the gold makes the rules. And if he became the most wealthy individual on the planet, he could get things done. It's common sense when you look at it, that the entire structure out there, the ones who have the money are the ones causing the problems. You and I don't have the money to go out and buy billion-dollar army tanks and jeeps and airplanes and bombs and guns to run around and terrorize our neighbor. But the governments of the world do. And guess what? They got that money from you, off your back. From your taxes, from your fines, from all the things that they do to tell you, you know, pay your carbon tax, know your place, shut your face, that kind of deal. And until all of humanity actually gets together and understands that you do have power in your spending, you know, you don't have to support a company such as Walmart if you know that Walmart has factories or buying their products from people that are abusing people in Mexico or China or other nations around the world. Knowledge of knowing where the product came from, how it was made. Was it made in an environmental friendly way? Did you pay any attention to any of that before you bought it just because it was cheap? The majority of the people living in this world don't understand outside their bubble. And so the guardians that I speak of are you. You because you're listening. You because you're knowledgeable. You because you care. We're the only guardians left on this planet. The rest of the folks are still taking a nap. And until they wake up, until they stumble onto an old Alex Jones video and then, you know, mock him for a bit and then go around and try to find somebody else to verify or mock him as well, until they finally realize that some of the stuff that he was talking about, they realize it's true and then they're awake. They see it in their own towns, in their own cities and states, until they see it for their own two eyes. It's just kind of hard, you know. Nobody wants to believe in God because they can't see God. And those who believe in aliens, maybe they have seen aliens. Those who don't believe in aliens are saying, show me. Show me the alien, and then I'll believe in aliens. It's the same thing with freedom, you know. It's the same thing with the governments out there of this world. You know, show me the proof that this government's corrupt. Well, the proof is in the pudding. All you got to do is look at the track record. All you got to do is look out there and see what's going on. Look at your bills and notice the fact that they keep going up and they keep talking about the economy. Who's in control of the economy? And the Federal Reserve, you know? They're going to up the interest, they're going to down the interest, they're going to do this special program that's going to save the economy and so on and so forth. The gas prices go up, then they go down for a bit, then they go up. Food prices up, down, up, down. Gold's going to crash, the economy's going to crash. All this stuff that you continuously hear on the mainstream media. And what are you doing? You're sitting around and you're blaming the Republicans. Or you're sitting around and blaming the Democrats. You're sitting there blaming everybody who you think is the one that's responsible or the most responsible and totally gaffing off the entire individual, the big picture of the whole deal. He who makes the gold makes the rules, and if you follow the money back, you'll find out the knucklehead behind all this process. You'll find out that the Federal Reserve isn't federal. It's privately owned, just like the banks of the world. And you'll find out that they will manipulate the money. When you're playing Monopoly with somebody, and then you turn around and say, okay, well, that Monopoly money is no good anymore. Here, try this money over here. Now you got a few bucks, whereas at least in the other Monopoly money, you had a lot of bucks. You know, it's common sense. And you're going to have to be the guardians. You're going to have to be the spokespeople for the individuals out there who are asleep. You're going to have to watch their back while they're asleep. You're going to have to take care of your fellow humans out there. Whether you're in the Indian nation or whether you're in society out there in whatever nation that you're in, be the chief, be the leader, be the person who keeps everybody safe by pointing out, look, keep an eye on that. You know, I keep talking about there's a couple sheep standing outside the cave and there's a big bad wolf there and he's talking about, hey everybody, come on up in this warm cave and we're going to have dinner. Alright? And me and Barry, we're kind of standing back in Dublin and we're saying, hey guys, he did say that we're going to go up in here and have dinner, but what he didn't say is, what are we having for dinner? What's on the menu? Chances are it's going to be you. Maybe you might not want to go into that cave. I mean, send the craziest person in the cave first. If he don't come back out, we'll know we don't want to go in there. No, I wouldn't do that either. But I just say, look, common sense says, before you go rushing in, you at least know where you're going. For the most part, I'm preaching to the choir. Because if you're listening to my voice, chances are right now you do care. But chances are, if you're just tuning in or you're just a new listener and trying to figure out what the Knights of the Round Table is all about, it's literally about you. It's literally about you being the guardians of this world. You know there's evil out there. You know there's this huge battle between good and evil. And while we may disagree whether or not it's biblical or spiritual or just man or whatever, the fact remains is we're all in this together. We're in the same boat. When the boat sinks, we all go down together. If nature dies, so do we. If our animals of our world are dying off and the food chain collapse, guess what? It doesn't stop until it gets to you. So when all these things are going on out there, when you got people like Paul Watson, the Whale Wars, and all his crew that's running around trying to save the whales, whether you agree or disagree on their method by which they do it, at least he's out there in the boat trying to save the whales. You know? He's doing something as opposed to nothing. There's where the difference lies. You being the guardians need to be the best listeners. You need to be the best speakers. You need to be the best teachers and community-oriented people that can go around there and peacefully teach people and show them, point it out in a respectful manner. If you live your life and lead by example, then you can be the best of the best. If all of us walk away from the table now, if we shut down Awake Radio and we shut down Shaziz Radio and TNSR Radio and 1800 Online and TCT, if we shut these radio networks down, and just walk away, that is less people that will be doing anything positive towards putting a stepping stone for the future of humanity in the direction that they should go. That's the less teachers, the less guardians out there. And the more powerful that the structure, the system of the beast gets, I mean, they're gathering up knowledge on an epic scale right now. There are several computers, and I was trying to find out a name of a specific computer, but if you go out there and you Google up the top 10 supercomputers of the world, they don't build supercomputers for nothing, and they're not just for calculating math. They're for gathering up information on your likes and your dislikes and your affiliations and all that kind of stuff. You've been cataloged ever since the time you stepped foot on the internet. Every time you pick up your phone, you're being cataloged. They know what you like, so they know what you'll buy. So they can sell that information to marketers who will sell you whatever product they've got that is related to the things that you are interested in. The same thing applies with your satellite TV and all the other stuff there. And people, I've heard them say, I threw my TV out years ago. Did you throw your cell phone out? Are you listening to me on the web right now? Because the individuals up there who own these supercomputers are making databases, huge databases, of everything there is to know about you, your health, your religion, your lack thereof. Your beliefs, your lack of beliefs, or whatever. They know. And there's where their power lies. And if they can get you into a system such as a one world currency, a digital currency, the mark of the beast that we all talk about, the chip on the hand or the forehead, they've got 100% control over your life, because at any given moment, if you speak out of line, if you don't know your place and shut your face, they'll shut you off. They'll shut off your food. They'll shut off your money, your water, your electricity, your heating, everything. They'll shut it off to teach you a lesson. And if need be, come over and take you to a nifty place where you can be re-educated into the new system, the so-called utopia that these communists and crazy people of the world are trying to drag this world into. You are the guardians. You are the only one who stands before the future tyranny of the world. You are the founding fathers and the mothers and sisters and brothers, just like on the Constitution that is topped off by We the People. You are those people right now. You have a choice to either stand idly by and just allow things to go and believe yourself to not be powerful enough to even speak out and say or do anything positive towards this. Or you can speak out against the evil. You can start you a website, a YouTube channel, a radio show. If you want to be a host here on Shaziz Radio Network, contact us. We'll fix you up. You know, it's not about running around scaring everybody in the world. It's not about trying to get rich or famous. It's about trying to be that guardian, to be that lighthouse on the edge of the stormy seas for people out there that are lost and need help. We have the capabilities. We have one another. We have the numbers. There are 7 billion people on this planet, if not more. And of them 7 billion people, only a small percentage are the ones causing all the troubles in this world. Why would 7 billion people allow such a minority to treat each other the way that they do? Because at this point in the game, you've been pitted against each other. You don't like me because I'm a Christian. You don't like me because I'm white. You don't like me because of my politics. You don't like me for whatever reason. You don't like me. And you think that you didn't like me just came naturally? It just come because, you know, you looked at me and you saw that I was a jerk and my actions were so bad that you just can't stand me? You know, if that's the case, I need to work on myself. But the truth of the matter is, the moment you heard the word Christian, there was a check mark against me. The moment you heard the word white guy, there was a check mark against me. The moment you heard that I was American, there was a check mark. The moment you heard it, you know, whatever you heard about me, something I said that you disagreed with, there was a check mark.
Chinese.
Yeah.
When we heard you were from Kansas, you definitely got a big check mark.
Well, I'm from Missouri. That's an even worse check mark.
I know. Made yourself there. Well, I couldn't resist it. You know?
Hey, that's truth, though, you know? Listen to my accent. I sound like a redneck.
Yeah, we love you guys from Kansas. You shoot from the hips.
So anyway, what do you think, Dublin? What do you think? Do you think the method by which we're doing the best we can with this radio network and all the other websites and stuff, do you think that's at least something as opposed to nothing?
As you define, you put your ripple out, I put my ripple out, and if enough of the ordinary guys put their ripples out, the government can't get their big fake agendas through. You know, big government is the enemy of the average Joe, whether it's the Russian government or the European government or the American government or the Canadian government. Big government is the enemy.
Well, that was the brilliance of the founding fathers, was the separation of powers, you know.
I know, but unfortunately, they did say, we built the republic, now can you keep it?
Yeah, well, we kept it this long so far.
I know, and I've got confidence it will, but, you know, it's going to be, it could be get a bit mean and dirty at times, you know, in this scrap, you know. I mean, these guys, they don't fight fair. You know, they don't fight fair.
Well, they've already dumbed the American people down because they continue to repeat a lie over and over again. They keep calling us a democracy. We are not, nor have we ever been, a democracy.
And yeah, you're a republic.
There is a definite difference between democracy and a republic. We have a representative republic style of government, and that's the way it was set up. But as you hear, the president and all the senators and congressmen continue to repeat it over and over. We're a democracy, we're trying to spread democracy around the world. Democracy is only one step away from socialism and communism and so on and so forth.
It's not a rule. Democracy. He counted the votes.
Yeah.
And the vote polls said, I voted Stalin.
In a democracy, you can literally let a whole bunch of illegal aliens over who's going to vote for you because you did so, and then turn around and get more votes. In a representative republic, it only goes by the number of registered voters per district and throughout the entire land. You know?
I mean, the whole world has to try and take, I mean, everything in the American Constitution, as far as I can see, is where it's at. I mean, the Second Amendment, every country in the world should have a Second Amendment. I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
Every country in the world should have the First Amendment. Most of Europe does not have anything like a First Amendment. We've always been censored. We've always been not allowed to have free speech. I mean, the only difference is in the last 50 years they haven't been enforcing the censorship laws. That's the only difference.
Well, the king couldn't get everybody back in line via violence because the freedom was a little bit more worth fighting for than the kingdom, and so the America, the founders won out during the Revolutionary War, you know, because they fought harder for the freedom. And so, with that said, you couldn't just run in there and take over America because all the Americans are crazy. They're armed to the teeth, and you're going to lose a lot of your soldiers in order to try to do that. And so,
yeah, it would be too expensive.
Yeah,
I mean, they could have. I mean,
The easiest way is to propagandize them and to convince them that they are still free while taking behind the scenes and using your money and power to bribe off their elected representatives. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, when America became independent in 1776, there was only 3 million of them, and the British Army at that time had just defeated Napoleon. So, if they decided to come across to America and take it, they probably could have, but the price would have been horrific.
Oh yeah.
So the King of England came up with a more slimy idea, and therein lies where the roots of the problem exist, because the treaty with Paris made it that the King of England retained ownership of all the lands of the USA.
Well, from what I see, the Revolutionary War is still going on. It's going on behind the scenes. It never stopped.
Yeah. It never stopped, because as long as the King or the Crown or the Queen of England owns the land of the United States, they can demand property tax. I mean, if you bought your property and you own it, you would not have to pay property tax. So all the property tax that the Americans pay goes to the British Crown via the IRS, who are all part of that scam. Now, the only people who don't have to pay property tax in America are the ones in Alaska, because the Americans bought Alaska from the Russians. So they don't have to pay property tax. So it's all there in history. But as part of the history, the Common Core history, in Europe we have what's called common purpose history, where they don't even teach us who Hitler was.
There's a common in the awake
they children. Dumb us down, and yeah, they dumb us down and they don't tell us the real history.
There's a comment in the awake chat room says the first illegal aliens were the Europeans who came to Turtle Island. Well, yeah, that may very well be the case, but here's the thing. I'm French Canadian / Cherokee Indian, all right? So my question is, what side of the fence do I got to be on? You know, my ancestors came back and stole my ancestors' lands and oppressed my ancestors who, you see what I'm saying? Here we are in the year 2015, and we got to figure this thing out, because now we're all mixed in such a batch as that. Do we just find everybody who is French and blast them, or everybody who's Indian and blast them, or do we just kind of run around and blast whoever and last man standing gets it?
You see, this is where history is important, because when the American system developed the Federal Reserve for the Native Indians and basically deprived them of food and so forth, and probably killed like 14 million Native Indians over God knows how many hundred years, they laid the foundations that would allow the American federal government to do what it's doing right now, which is, its basic idea is they're going to sell America to the Chinese, and then they're going to kill off 80% or 100% of the American people in FEMA extermination camps, and then bring Chinese in to work the land. That's their plan. Now, once you know their plan, you can say, well, yeah, they get the plan straight out of the Federal Reserve project that they did for the last few hundred years. It's hardwired into the system that exterminating people and bringing in a new batch is the American way.
Well, I'm sick of the whole extermination idea. See, here's the thing. Here we are. How we got here is something that we should be remembered, how we actually got here, but we're a melting pot. We're of all nations, from people from every country to whatever, every island or every background. We're all here. So now that we're here, now we got to stop the craziness, you know?
Well,
my ancestors encroached.
First thing is, you have to identify who's the enemy. I mean, the primary enemy is all of Europe. I mean, I'm from Europe, and I can tell you the European governments are a fundamental enemy of the United States people.
We know who's the enemy.
They're pally as hell with the federal USA government, because they're part of the whole backstabbing takeover on of Europe. Now, the other enemy is basically the federal USA government, because it's being hijacked by offshore interests, be it the Rockefellers, be
there's the thing. You just said it. We know who the enemies are. We know the global rich, the global elite.
If
But there's the thing.
Yeah, what they do is they tell you it's ISIS and you got to shoot this picture of Bin Laden or whatever.
Yeah, well, there's...
It's not. I mean, there's a real target that you should be making down in your target practice, is pictures of the royal families of Europe, the heads of every government of Europe. They are your enemy. Make no mistake about it.
Well, there's the thing. Listen.
Yeah, they fully intend sending their armies, and they are sending. The British Army is in the USA all the time, doing all sorts of weird stuff. The German Army is there. And they fully intend to be part of the United Nations Army that's going to come over and disarm the
United States. I agree, but listen.
So, as far as the Americans are concerned, the only people you can trust, ultimately, is the American people.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you could be nice to us Europeans, but you can't trust us as far as you can trust.
I agree, but listen. See, the problem is this. Right now, we know of all the atrocities that's happened here in America and abroad. We know of all the different races that were abused and enslaved throughout the entire world. And the problem is that the same individuals who were responsible for all of that, slavery, death, and destruction, the same individuals who were responsible back then are responsible right now. And they are using the atrocities. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. They are using the atrocities that were done in the past against we the people. We got black people despising white people because of slavery and all the different vice versa. It's they're using the atrocities that were committed in the name of whatever back then against us the individuals. To keep us a fighting amongst each other. And we shouldn't be fighting amongst each other. We should be saying, hey, look what those guys had done to you. Look what they did to the Chinese, the Japanese, the Indians, the Irish, and all the different people that make up America. Look what they did. These were the folks that were responsible. They were the money men at the top. They were the kings and the people that got these wars started. And now they're using the same...
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the policy. As soon as they got to America, they divide and conquer by keeping the native Indians separate from the American people who were coming in, and then they keep the Chinese separate from the Americans. Then they allowed in the Second World War the confiscation of Japanese people's property, and in the First World War, they picked on the Germans. You know, many of them, good Americans, said, you're under house arrest. And so divide and rule is the name of their game.
Well, Dublin, I don't begrudge anybody in history their history. I think that all of these atrocities should be remembered. All of them should be taught in school as lessons of what not to do in the future. You know, like I said, I'm French-Canadian. And I'm also Cherokee Indian. So I'm here. I'm going to stay in America. I'm an American. I this is my home. I'm here. I'm here to stay. And so...
And that's what the Americans have to do, is they have to... I mean, I'd like to help people in ISIS and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? That's a distraction. They're trying to destroy where I live, which is Ireland. They're trying to destroy where you live, which is America, by distracting us to go off and fight wars in other parts of the world. That they created the war in the first place.
That's right. We have a common enemy, and it's not us.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not us. You know, we're just Joes. Now, I mean, the only reason ISIS is able to run around the place causing the havoc it's causing is because the American government supplied all the weapons to them and the uniforms. And not the American people, the federal USA government, the White House, the CIA, the FBI, the alphabet soups. They shipped over I don't know how many thousand tons of weapons. They supplied them all those big black SUV cars with big M60 machine guns on them. They call them technicals. They supplied them with, I don't know, something like several thousand ground-to-air missiles. And if the American government had been stopped giving them that, there wouldn't be an ISIS problem today. Now the next thing is they're trying to say, well, you have to go over to fight ISIS. Well, apart from bankrupting America, it's going to get a lot of Americans killed in a part of the world that they know nothing about, and it's got nothing to do with them. Well, the best thing to do is not to go over to any other part of the bloody planet. That's my attitude.
Well, I
agree with you. If someone comes to me and says, you're going to go and join the army and go over to America and disarm the Americans, I've got to say, you get lost.
I agree, you know? And we're getting down to the wire there, but one of the things I want to point out is that we, the people, have to literally stop feeding the beast that is eating us all alive. You know, I have love in my heart for everybody out there, and I know you do as well.
Yeah, well, part of the beast is the tax. Comes from communism.
Well, yeah, and that's why you gotta empty their wallets. If you empty their wallets, you empty their power.
Yeah, so part of it is we're all going to have to turn around to the government and say, you know, I don't see in the Constitution where it says I gotta pay tax, and I ain't paying it. No, I don't volunteer. And that's the end of it. And when they got no money, the problem finishes. We gotta starve the beast that's causing the problem.
Yep.
The only reason they got the army and the big trucks to bash down doors and SWAT teams and all that is because the taxpayers keep feeding all this money to make the government drive the police and make United Nations armies and all that nonsense.
Do you know how many treaties with the Indians were broken?
That was the whole purpose of it.
I know, but that's not the end of it. Do you know how many contracts? Do you know how many contracts with the American people that were broken?
Well, you see, that's the whole purpose of the exercise. Rockefeller, when he came to a town and he filled the railway line through it, if the town didn't give him the ground that the railway line was passing through, he just went through and killed everybody in the town and then just took the land. And that's where the Rockefellers come from. And they haven't changed one bit. And
no.
Rockefeller openly admits that he is an enemy of the United States of America. And yet he walks freely around New York and all these other places and treated like a king in the federal USA government. And he's given Rockefeller's given big jobs to senators. And they openly admit they're enemies of the United States of America.
Yep.
In your face.
Well, the thing is, and we got like 3 minutes left, and I want to let you have the last word, but the thing is...
No, you have the last word.
Alright, well, can you mute your mic?
Yeah, because it's getting very noisy here, so I'll say goodbye.
Alright, hey, thanks a lot, Dublin. It's been a wonderful conversation, but I'll just sum it up with this. Look, here's the thing, guys and gals. You know, us Americans out there, regardless of what color you are, what race, religion, or background, the Constitution was supposedly for all of us, we the people, you know. That's us, we the people. It was a contract. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with how it came about or whatever, it's the only thing that separates us from the crazies that are running the place. And we continuously keep feeding the beast that's eating us all alive, that keeps pitting us against one another. And it's my firm belief, because I see the way that other societies are out there in this world, that if we ever lose that piece of paper, that contract, that we give the government total control, then we lose America. And once the world loses America, the world loses the world, because now any government can do whatever they want to the people. There's nobody to stand up against them. You know, we've been called the world's police. We've been called the world Satan, Babylon, and everything else under the sun. We've been called everything that there is to call. Is there wrongs that have been done? Yes. Is there corruption that's been going on, still going on? Yes. All of these answers are yes. There's bads. But, you know, the ends don't justify the means in most cases. And what we've got right there, we the people, the United States Constitution, the lesser of two evils, either, you know, you're under the belief that our Creator gave us all the power and all the freedom, but yet the government stands between us and our gods or our creators. That document is the only thing. And the people that died, the blood that was shed in order to make that document possible, the people who have fought for freedom, the veterans of all the different wars that our governments and the elite of the world have gotten us into, are the ones that enabled the United States of America to stay here as long as it has? Is the United States of America on its way down due to inside forces or outside forces? It looks that way. But once the world loses America, once the world loses that beacon of light, that lighthouse on the stormy seas of this world that we live in, then as far as I'm concerned, all hope's lost. You're going to have to fight to get your freedom back in whatever nation you're on. My suggestion is that while we have access to this internet and we can talk to one another, we do the best we can and make the best out of a bad situation, and we respect the people of all faiths and all religions, and we come together as one, united in mind, not under some one world government, not under some one world religion, but under a one world idea that we care about our children and our children's future. We being the guardians of those who are asleep, we are the founding fathers, the mothers and sisters and brothers, the only ones that stands in between the tyrannical governments of the world, the corruption of all the corporations that basically come in and steal and plunder and pillage our lands. Now maybe somewhere I'm standing on a piece of land that in the past belonged to some native individual who was here before I am. But the fact is, you and me, we're here together now. And we need to become allies in this war against the evil that is tearing this world apart. We are under the understanding that I love you and you love me. That we want to come together and have barbecues with our children, you know, and picnics and get together and live like humans, like real people. We would give the shirt off our back to one another or help each other out with whatever we had, even if we didn't have much. Some of the most giving people that I've ever met in my entire life are the poorest people that I've ever met. Those are what we need to become. We need to continue as long as we have access to the tools that we have right now, and as long as we have access to the communication with one another, we need to continue to be the guardians of this world. To be continuing to clean up our environments, to work hand in hand with nature as opposed to against nature. To look out and see the needs that are going on and address them full force with whatever resources we can muster together. We literally need to stop feeding the beast, and we literally need to start working hand in hand as a community, a world community, in order to try to turn this boat around before it goes off into the abyss. This is the best word that I can give. It's coming from a white man, a French Canadian slash Indian. Half-breed, if you want to call me that. But it's coming from the heart. It's something that I'm sure that we can all agree on, that we need our nations to be our nations. But once again, we all need our nations to work in cooperation with one another. And we can't do that as long as these individuals are out there starting one conflict after another, taking your hard-earned dollars and buying war machines and tearing things up and poisoning. And those people out there who are filthy, stinking rich, and they think that world depopulation is the best idea to get all this under control. What gives them the right to control anything? What makes them God? Besides that almighty dollar bill or that piece of gold or silver. I'm hoping that you're understanding what it is that I'm trying to say. I'm hoping that you're understanding the true nature of your power. Your God-given right, your creator gift that was given to you. Now is the time in history that if you're going to stand up and use that voice that you can sing like an angel, now you stand up and you sing like an angel, and you do with whatever talents you got the best that you can to lay those paving stones down for the future of all humanity. We need to keep these networks together. We need to keep them growing. Please use that Facebook share button. Share the links to all these other networks. Even if nobody comes to Shaziz Radio, at least go to Awake Ready or TCT or TNSR or 1800 Online. Go there. learn as much as you can from one another and take that knowledge and go out there and use those solutions to fix this world, because we need you personally right now. With that said, I'll say peace and love, and I'm over my time, so I apologize to any host that's coming on after me, but sometimes you just got to say what needs to be said. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you believe what it is that we're doing here, please pass the word along. Peace and love, everybody.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. Read us where we're able. We do routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.